Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Danis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Is that the correct? Thank you. Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
LaChance is absent. Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Walter?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, and so I guess first I'd like to welcome Ryan to the board.
Welcome.
Hi, Ryan.
And newly appointed from our last city council meeting. In recognition of visitors, we have Jeanette, and we have Jackie here from the city, and Lisa, and we have
Daniel.
Yes. Well, and okay, so let's go over. Do we have any amendments to the agenda? I don't see any. No of any. So let's go over the last month's minutes and approve those. Motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for policy committee of August the 8th and a regular board meeting of August 13th.
Second.
Crawford?
Yes.
Danis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Do we have any correspondence?
There was some correspondence that was listed in my director's report. Basically, we received a check to pay for the musical entertainment by Sundown Lighting Solutions. I got a check for $100 from Casey's for the ice cream special. And we received $100 from the Roberts Family Foundation that would be used towards upgrading the ice cream reader. And a check from the Sons of Norway for $75, and that's the group that puts on the Viking program.
Great.
And thank you, Larry, for the snack.
Okay. Do you have any public comment? Doesn't look like. And do we have any staff comment? Anything? Okay, so we have the report from the treasurer.
All right. We are starting to see large amounts of property taxes come in.
Okay.
Yay. Mm-hmm. One thing that I questioned and I need to get further detail on is there was a huge jump in operating supplies. Lisa thinks that actually is custodial supplies because they ordered a lot of cleaning supplies this past month. But there's nothing in custodial supplies, so I think they just...
We also had the flood that took out a lot of custodial supplies, too, didn't we?
Not too much. Just a couple rolls of toilet
paper.
So anyway, but there's this, like, you know, last month it was $79 in operating supplies, and this month it's over $1,000. So there's
a... Oh, $1,000.
In operating supplies?
Mm-hmm.
At the bottom of page one?
That's a lot of
code. That's a big...
Right. So we're going to check and see if maybe something got misclassified or something. Because it just
I'll email Rob and ask him if he will break down.
Yeah, because it just doesn't line item seem right.
Page one of which one?
Oh, of this thing.
This one.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Rob. And then we have development fees coming in.
Yay.
So that's everything else is pretty much in line and what we expected.
I'm contributing to that development fees.
Oh, good.
Because we bought
Thank
a new
you.
House
over Thank
Grand
you,
Reserve.
Welcome to it. Yeah. And that one was big 2 months ago. I wonder if we could look back at the story of supplies. They used to be the same account, the operating supplies and the custodial. So I wonder if when they changed, like they separated it out, but if we used an old vendor or something, like it just would automatically go into the operating supplies. Well, I'm just wondering for custodial supplies.
Yeah, because
it was $1,200 2 months ago.
Right.
That's a lot. They needed to buy even, right or no? Is that not a lot for a building?
We don't do it. It's like every 6 months. And it's
right, so it would have only been 2 months ago that we spent over $1,000.
Right.
So even if it is custodial supplies, I feel like it's a lot for just 2 months later if you're thinking you make big purchases in 6 months.
So,
because we made $400 last month, $1,200 the month before that. And so even still having $1,100 for this month is kind of a lot.
Let me get Rob to break down what
purchase at that line item.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we pay our bills in the amount of accounts payable of $23,280.49 and two payroll periods for the total of $37,670.48 for total disbursements of $60,950.97.
Second.
We have a roll call?
Yes. Dennis? Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes. Okay. We have the report of the treasurer. Or, I'm sorry, the report of the library director.
Okay. We had a problem with the HVAC system again. We had a problem the week before with the HVAC system for this part of the building. The motor burnt out. We had to have a new motor put in. That unit was 20 years old. The second unit is 11 years old. What happened Thursday, the chiller, part on the chiller went out. It was the airflow handler. So they came out Friday and had to order a part. They came back today and installed the part. They did say they could come back on Saturday, but it would be double time. So we just waited till this morning. And so that'll be another bill coming this month. I want to, before I forget, invite everyone to come to our ice cream social. It's this Saturday from 2 to 4. We'll have the band Silver Strings. And we're going to have a lot of children's activities and really want to play it up. We're going to have clowns and Stan's going to make some henna tattoos. The weather should be good on Saturday. So I'm hoping that this will be an annual event. And thanks to the mayor, Meadowvale is donating the ice cream. And hope this is a nice event and hope that it'll be a yearly event. So please consider yourself invited. If you'd like to help with any activities, please let us know as well. Okay. The fire alarm panel also went off this past week. It's every day. It's every day. So that was another emergency
call.
How
many times is that?
Yeah.
The panel, I mean...
Well, it was same day service to get someone out. It was $440. I got the bill today. And it turned out to be 3 batteries. The batteries are $30 a piece. They last for 5 years. So I had him put the date on each battery. And we went to Ace Hardware and got the batteries. And then had him install them because our Ace charges $30. They would have charged $50. Then I said, what do we do with the old batteries? He said, we can take them away for $5. And I said, we don't have any money.
Yep.
We really don't have any money. So he took the batteries away, and he also threw in another battery for free. So, but... I mean, we couldn't predict that. It happened, and service
so they for 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, but how many other batteries? I mean,
yeah.
The next month there'll be something different.
Oh, that's a different set of batteries.
Right.
So anyway, I already mentioned the grants and the fundraising activities that have come in. The meeting room revenue is starting to come in. I had two law firms contact me to rent the room for two depositions. So that's $75 for 3 hours. And we've got the first one this Thursday. So 3 hours, $75. And they're happy. They're happy to be able to have the room. Okay, the state report, the LNET traffic survey, which is the interlibrary loan, is due in March, but it's already been submitted to the state. Projects. I'm working on the disaster plan, updating the disaster plan, and I'm also collecting from other libraries copies of physical facilities maintenance plans so that eventually once we have a committee, we can look at what needs to be replaced in advance of things falling apart. So started working on that. The Friends of the Library is paying for the projection system, and that will be installed in September as soon as he gets our check for half of the payment. And we've had some really fun activities in the children's department. We had the monarch butterflies, and I'm going to let Jeanette briefly talk about that.
We were able, our science summer of science ended with monarchs, so we were given to babysit several caterpillars. Once that got started and the transformation process started, the amount of people that we had through, people were coming in just to see where the butterflies were in what stage. And then we had another family come in and give us 3 more caterpillars. It has been quite an adventure, and we ended up releasing 9 monarch butterflies this summer. And we're going to continue that monarch theme with 4-H. 4-H is going to be coming in October to do a Monarchs on the Move program for us here at the library. So it's been fun.
Have you thought about finding a place outside where you could put plant maybe milkweed?
I would love that.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody would, but yeah, I would.
Well, you would have to let whoever's doing the groundskeeping that don't spray any weed killer on this area. Yeah.
Well, there's butterfly waste stations, too, that you plant specific flowers that attract
right.
them along with it. So.
Yeah. Well, milkweed is the biggest one.
Right.
Yeah.
But probably talk with the, you guys already work with the Forest Preserve, right, mm-hmm. for some of that.
Yeah.
I bet they could probably partner with us on that.
Yeah. Reason I asked, my neighbor has lots of milkweed in her garden, and she babysits the caterpillars and releases them when they're yeah. time to go.
Yeah, it's been an interesting process. We've all learned a lot.
Yes.
10% of monarchs survive in the wild, yep. and 90% survive in captivity. Mm. So we're doing our part.
Tell the board yep. about the one that got carried away. By the insect.
Oh. Well, when I say that we released 9, we both did release 9. One just
got carried away.
Didn't quite make it.
Something ran out.
Yep, got him. Took off his head. But no kids were involved.
It looked like kids.
Yeah,
I've never seen kids be so quiet as yeah. when they were watching the one turn into the chrysalis. That was yeah. amazing.
Yeah.
One of them waited until the high school kids got out of school. So we had a ton of teenagers, plus all of us, around this cage watching. Oh, we've had all kinds of names.
It was funny yeah. names.
Chicken Nugget, Scrambled, Jerry, Bob.
Chicken Nugget.
That was funny. My stuff was on.
So it has been fun, and it's been very well received by the community.
Thank you.
I can see a good place to start that garden right out in this area, right out front.
Yes, you get better, you get on that. The rest of us are like,
at least not now.
Why not get the garden club?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's one at the river.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Rain garden or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that. Everybody's
like,
oh,
man.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody would love seeing butterflies.
They do.
Yeah. Except.
And let's see, city liaison, Jackie.
Oh, no, not quiet. Sorry, I missed your meeting last month. I was late. That won't happen yet.
And we are grateful for the city approving our appointments.
Yes, yes. Yes. Happy to see that. Thank you for speaking. You're very eloquent. Yeah. I'm sorry they made you sit through that awful meeting, too.
That was really interesting. I haven't been to any, and I've lived here 12 years, and it was awesome. I was like, love local town politics. This is fantastic. It was my anniversary, too. I was having a good time. I was like, look how educated. I love the vibe with the notebooks. And he was like, let me break my points down for you. It's like, and we learned about water and towers. I was like, it's very educational. Very yep. good. Wow. I mean, I kind of find that kind of stuff educational. I know. I heard the next day. Yeah. For good reason. Our town showed that they really cared about that issue.
Right.
So,
yep.
It was a good meeting.
Thank you for sitting through that.
Great. Do we have anything from standing committees? I don't think any of them met. Yeah. Okay. Unfinished business. So, carpet cleaning.
I put together a little summary sheet. I thought it'd be easier to look at than looking at each of the proposals.
There's
a little bit of background information. The last time the carpet was cleaned was almost 2 years ago. The cost was $4,284, and it was done by Terry's Carpet Cleaning. Terry submitted a proposal for $4,000 previously. But then I guess when he saw the other quotes, he came back and lowered his bid. I've given you all the information. What I would like to do, if possible, is have the carpets cleaned on October 5th. We will be closed a half a day for staff training, is have them clean the upstairs while we're here in the meeting room. And then once staff leaves at 4:30, 5 o'clock, then they can do the bottom. The first floor, and I would stay here with the group until everything is clean. They all come you know, recommended by other libraries. But what I especially would like is a company that will come in with a team of two or three teams of people to do it pretty quickly. The prices are all about, some are higher and some are about the same. What I would recommend is that we do a cleaning in October, and then after the winter, let's say the first week in May, we do a cleaning of just the high traffic areas to keep it maintained. Right. I have quotes on cleaning the furniture. I don't think we need to do that at this point, spend the money on that. I'd rather use the money to do the high traffic areas in the spring. The chairs that are used the most are the computer chairs, and they're not fabric. They're just wooden chairs. So our staff, our maintenance people, just wipe those down. At some point, I would like to come back to the board and have the company, like Stanley Steamer, come back and steam clean all the bathrooms, because they really need to have a really good cleaning. So I'd rather, I would probably do that in the spring as well. I did not know about Stanley Steamer. I thought they were just, you know, home cleaning services. But they do clean Schaumburg Public Library, which is a huge library. And that's, when I went to the Physical Facilities Committee meeting, they told me about Stanley Steamer, and they came out and did the quote right away. So they would come in with a team of, like, three teams of people to do it right away pretty quickly. And they're all, it's all a wet clean. It takes overnight to dry.
Oh, all four of them, or all five of them said the same thing.
With Terry's carpet, it would have to be done on week multiple times, because he's a local company and he's family operated. And he would have to do it like on Saturday nights and Sundays and break it up like that. I definitely want to be here with whatever company's here to be in the building while they're doing it.
So all things considered, price-wise, from your conversations with them, would there be any that you would eliminate based on your experience, or would there be any that you felt comfortable with?
I felt comfortable with Stanley Steamer and Master Clean. I think between Stanley Steamer and Master Clean, I really like the fact of coming back and doing the high traffic areas.
And then, would Master Clean have the ability to do steam cleanings of, like, the bathrooms too? Or?
I'm sure they could. Okay. I'm sure they could. But I felt comfortable with Master Clean and Stanley Steamer. Stanley Steamer also has a breakdown of not only steam cleaning, but putting a sealant on the tiles. Our bathrooms, I think, need some more.
This is all they charge to seal? I haven't come to my house.
That's
a pretty good price. Mm-hmm. For four bathrooms.
Yeah, it's on the back page.
Yeah,
it's on
the
back. And then material?
I don't have quotes on the cleaning from Master Clean. I'm just concentrating right now on the carpets.
Right.
So we have to decide which one we're going to use.
I'm going to go Stanley, Steve.
Yeah.
Me too. Neither one. Stanley or Master.
Master Clean is a little bit more expensive. Either one. I mean,
they're pretty close if you're considering having them pad. Right?
Yeah.
They're both about the same.
I don't have, the cost, it comes out about the same, because the cost is less on the entire library, but it's higher on the high traffic.
Right.
So they both come out the same.
Right.
So what is, on the Master Clean, there was an additional $400. Did they kick that out, or did you not?
Let's do it.
On the actual quote, there's the $3,000. Then there's the VIP extraction and encapsulation program for corrective carpet cleaning. Is this just the breakdown of the three? This is no. This is
no. I think that's if you want to. I believe that's with the coming back for the high traffic areas, the 1224 and the 440.
Let's go back and do.
The Stanley Steamer does Schaumburg. Master Clean does St. Charles Library.
Schaumburg.
Yeah. My feeling is Stanley Steamer. I mean, Detroit.
Sounds good to me.
Yep. Let's do it.
Yep.
Stanley Steamer. Make a motion that we use Stanley Steamer for $3,200 for the entire library. With follow up of one of you at least.
Second.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Cadman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
So, next, is to improve the mission value statement.
Okay. So, when we left our mission statement and values, we had amended value number 2 to say we're committed to serving all patrons of our diverse community. So that was the one change that was made. And so just so you know, this is on the back of the second to last page of your packet. So,
I have an unamended one.
Right, yeah, okay. It's not amended in the packet, but we do have the second value.
Can we add in educate first?
Well, I think overall our kind of goal of tonight was to look at the mission statement and just work through areas. I know we had discussed educate as one of the items for the list. So educate, comma, entertain. So what I thought we would do would be maybe take it a section at a time, and hopefully areas that we want to focus on, we have some ideas and thoughts as to what we can add or remove from it. So if we want to look at, I know there was some discussion about the word guides there, so if we want to look at maybe that first sentence first, what were some thoughts on?
I thought we were going to take out, to start a mission statement, instead of just saying we are guides, just say
we
to nurture, or
we nurture.
To nurture, we nurture.
Okay.
Or to nurture.
I would say two.
Yeah, to nurture.
Our mission is to nurture a love of reading and lifelong learning, so you would need a comma there.
Right.
I'm very good with that.
Is the word starting the sentence with two?
Yes.
Two. Do you want to say that Yorkville Public Library seeks to?
No, because the mission is not actually what we're. If I might explain it.
That's okay. No, I understand. I just didn't know if we wanted to start
the
word two. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I would say any areas we can
cut
the words as clean as possible.
Sure. I actually did some benchmarking.
Sure.
Looking at some.
So, like, our mission statement is to.
Right.
It's like the overall. Right.
I did some benchmarking and looked at some other libraries on how they did. And I know we did the strategic plan. Did we ever decide how many years this plan is going to be that we want? Did we decide it's going
to
be three?
Three to five, yeah.
Okay. And then, so our mission would be this, and then we did have our strategic goals for those five.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our objectives, which were the ones that we decided. So then, I think we should just minimize them to say two.
Okay.
And not go further.
Okay.
And if you didn't want to start with an article, you could even say nurturing a love of reading and lifelong learning.
Right.
Not that, I mean, the school district is different than that, but it's like cultivating this.
Yeah.
They just start with the verb rather than.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it either way.
Either way.
Yeah.
Preferences?
Well, the remainder of it is full sentences, though. There is a full sentence, right?
Well, yeah, he said we're doing it part, so we're just going to the first one, mm-hmm. and then we'll look at the second part.
Yeah, so I thought we'd tackle that first sentence first, mm-hmm. and then look at it.
Well, what I'm saying is that you're going to make the first one not a complete sentence.
Right.
But the second one, a complete sentence?
Well, when I looked at some of the other libraries, they didn't have full, some of them did not have complete sentences. They just had words like inspire or service, innovative, adapting. I mean, but it's up to us to decide if how we want it to be. It doesn't have to be long sentences.
So is there a concern with putting the word we in front of it?
I would say we because it's who we are as a library.
For?
We nurture a love of reading.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For those that like complete sentences.
Okay, I just wanted to.
So instead of just saying we're guys, just say we nurture a love of reading and lifelong learning.
There we go.
Because we is all inclusive to board, staff, entity. Okay. Anything else in the first sentence? And then we'll look at the second sentence, and then we'll look at it as a whole and decide whether or not we're missing anything or tweaks. Okay? First sentence good?
Yes.
Speak now and forever hold your peace.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, speak.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I have something, too.
Okay, good.
I personally don't like we.
Okay.
Because we is, for your mission, it's what you're striving to do, not what you believe you already do, because it's up to your public and your patrons to say that. I feel like your mission is, we strive to
mission is
nurture.
Striving.
Right.
Mission is what you do. Vision is striving. Vision is forward-looking. Mission is what you're currently
doing. How you
so nurturing a love of reading and providing access then. I would start with the verbs. For me. I don't know, right? Like, I feel the we weakens it. It makes it awkward to me. Like, we do this and we do that. I don't know.
Because there's a new we in the second sentence.
Yeah, so it starts to sound repetitive and less powerful, like nurturing a love of reading and lifelong learning, providing access to support and resources that will entertain, inspire.
Okay.
You see how, like, if
I just don't like the comma after reading.
Oh, that should come out.
I don't like that comma.
After learning?
No, after reading. It shouldn't be there.
Oh, yeah.
There's only
that
two items, so you don't need a comma.
Yeah.
Since we're allowed to nitpick.
Nurturing a
love of reading and lifelong learning.
That would actually be a comment after that, then.
No. Lifelong learning.
They're like phrases.
And lifetime.
I mean, if we're committed to
phrases?
Phrases versus sentences that have to have a subject and a predicate, then you go back to having we and sorry, that's the English teacher in me, but you know, but sometimes you don't have to for mission statements that are supposed to be inspiring, I feel like, you know, and you start with that active verb, and that comes from that curriculum writing side of me. Like,
so the mission is our purpose. What is our purpose of the library? What's the purpose? That's what we're doing. And then the vision is our future.
Nurturing a love of reading and lifelong learning.
Okay.
So our purpose is providing access to support and resources.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you could write it the other way. Okay, I guess in my head I'm thinking, what's going on the top of the website?
Yeah.
The vision or the mission? People
mission.
Put these things on the top
of
their
websites. Yeah, I mean, they would both be on there.
It should be both.
They would both be on there.
On the homepage, you can have the vision and the mission?
Well, it'd be under a section of who we are, probably. It wouldn't necessarily be right on the homepage. You don't go to every website and they have their mission statement on the front page, necessarily.
Most libraries had it under about us,
yeah.
And then they had like their strategic plan.
So you would
plan.
Have your mission, your vision, your values, your strategic plan, all under the who we are kind of section.
Okay, I guess I feel like I need to see the vision.
The vision's here.
The vision is there.
Are we keeping the vision the same?
No, the vision was our strategic plans.
But we didn't come up with the vision from there. We only came up with goals and objectives. We have a vision.
But the objectives are the vision.
No. That's separate. You have a mission, a vision, and objectives are usually what comes with the goals. If you do a strategic plan, you have your goals, which are the five goals that we did.
Right.
And then
which
you have
come
objectives
from the objectives,
comes,
which are the strategic plan.
But what is the vision? We didn't come up with the vision.
The strategic plan. I mean, it's semantics. The vision is what you want to achieve, which is our strategic plan.
Okay, so you're just using the word vision to represent the entire plan. I thought you meant a vision statement.
The vision statement is the strategic objectives. They're one and the same.
No, they're not.
Then what would they be different?
The vision is the vision of the library.
then the mission is what was the purpose, what we serve for.
What's
then when we do the strategic plan, we came up with those five goals and the objectives because you met with the staff members. And from there, we were supposed to come up with the vision. We never wrote out a vision
statement. No, if you go back to the recordings, the vision is our strategic objectives. The vision is what you want to achieve within 3 to 5 years.
I'm not going to go back and forth.
Okay.
Our mission statement becomes that tagline that represents your organization.
Correct.
Your mission statement.
Correct.
So I just want it to sound, you know, like powerful, and you could put it on your homepage. Like some organizations put it on that. They want when you see them or you see their image, you think, this is a library that nurtures a love of reading. You see that in our programming. You see...
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, what I'm saying. So I want to keep it concise so that it would look, if it's a paragraph, it won't look good on the homepage if it's really long. But you could see like a two-liner at the top, you know. I guess I'm thinking of our homepage and that nice mission statement that represents.
Right, because the old one was long.
What we're doing and what we're striving for. I feel like your mission statement should represent what you're doing and what you're striving for. Because we want to do this, we have the strategic plan that will move us even further along on those goals. So I think I was just misunderstanding a vision statement versus our vision as a whole, just a strategic
plan.
I like starting with active verbs personally.
So nurturing a love of reading and lifelong learning.
But then, I like that too.
As just one statement, and then period, and then providing acts, and then the one to start with another verb.
With providing.
Yeah.
I would like it better if we started with the verbs than with both sentences.
Yes.
Right?
And no we.
Right. I got you.
So it was consistent. The rest of the sentences I like. It was just how they started. That
providing access to support and resources that will educate, entertain, inspire, inform, and foster sense of community in all patrons. So we would be left with nurturing a love of reading and lifelong learning, providing access to support and resources that will educate, entertain, inspire, inform, and foster sense of community in all patrons.
I like it.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Okay.
As long as, are we going to ever go back to a vision statement or no? Are we
have our vision.
So we're keeping this.
No, it's what we developed. Our vision is going to be our 3 to 5 year outlook for what we want to achieve, which are our strategic objectives. That was the whole point of the SWOT analysis, was developing our vision of where we're going.
I understand that, but in my experience, I'm just saying that usually you have a mission and a vision statement, so we're not
correct.
Having a vision statement.
The vision is composed of the strategic objectives, just like the values are composed of...
I've never seen it that way, but that's
okay.
We'll get to that when we can.
I mean, if we feel like we're missing anything, so our mission is who we are,
right?
Our values are what we believe in, and our vision / strategic objectives are where we're going. So to me, that's a complete...
But for our objectives, did we ever... I looked at all the objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we have some dates of how we're going to accomplish some of those objectives.
Those are goals, which come under the objectives.
Right. So some of them we have met, but some of them we did not give a target date for.
Right, because it's 3 to 5 years, so we've committed to the ones that we're achieving this year. So if we want to look at... what we're
going to
focus on.
Not a library,
actually,
but a large public organization. So I think what she's saying, so like, I can only go to what I know. So on the school district site, they have a mission.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Beneath that is the vision.
Right.
So the mission is our purpose. The vision is our future.
Yes.
It's almost like these two sentences split in half. Because their mission, cultivating learners who apply skills and enrich society. Nurturing a love of reading and lifelong learning, right? They sound a lot.
Right.
Then their vision, a recognized community of learners where everyone has the voice, freedom, and responsibility to create individual learning paths. That's kind of like providing access to support and reach, right? It's like,
right.
It sounds like this is our future versus this is our purpose. I think she's saying two different statements.
Sure.
And you're saying, and then they still have the strategic goals and objectives. But for them, that's separate from a vision statement.
But I would almost say, again, this is the strategic planning that I've been doing. Your vision, their vision statement is not really forward-looking. It's more of their mission statement. It's what they're doing, right?
They're doing things to get
into
to this.
Right.
You see what I mean? Like, they're going to do things because this is where they want to go,
right?
But this is what we currently already do. And I feel like we currently do promote a love of reading and lifelong learning. But we want to do that by providing even more support and resources.
Those goals that we
set. I personally don't think that we need two. We can be different. Why do we have to have a mission and a vision statement? Right? Can't we just have a mission statement that represents?
Well, I feel like our vision is, I mean, the strategic objectives are visions, forward-looking of what we want to achieve. So all I would say is, you know, there's a lot of ways to do strategic planning. Mm-hmm. There's not a right way. There's not a wrong right. way. Go ahead and look at examples, and if we want to carry on this conversation and discussion further, we can absolutely revisit it if we feel we're meeting anything. Right now, I feel like from a process standpoint, we have the pieces of what we need to, you know, say who we are, what we believe in, and where we're going. If we want to add anything else to that, we can absolutely revisit that.
So then after we do all of this and we agree to this, who's going to create the plans and we have it in paper? To make sure that these goals are being met by the time frames that we set for, so we can revisit them if they're not being met, to make sure they be met. Are we going to actually create the plan? Not just say this, but have the plan so that we can all as a board see what the plan is and make sure we're on target. If we need to revisit it, we revisit it. Are we going to do that? And not just have, you know, this and then go away with this and not know that we've met these goals.
I mean, I think we developed goals already, so with target dates, right? So.
Not all. But some of my women are not all. Okay.
So can we have all of it together?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
that's
sure.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. And then I think we'll be able to approve it.
Yeah.
Previously. If you want to send those to me, I can pull it all together.
Okay. I remember working through them, but it's nice to look at them at the same time.
Look at it all together.
Are we going through the values as well?
I think other than that one change on number two to add right. our diverse community, was there anything else we wanted to touch on with the values?
So do number two again how you want.
So we are committed to serving all patrons of our diverse community.
Objective,
review
right?
it all with our objectives and our goals as one piece, and then we can vote next meeting. But I think this should hopefully finalize that process for now.
Okay, well.
And then we can move forward. So thank you all
thank
for
you.
Your.
I just did not want us to do this and not have something before the board that we are accountable to make sure that these goals are met. That's
and
it.
We have to put a date on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
When we target next time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll date it so we know when to review. I mean, we'll be going back to it on an annual basis for goal development at the very least. And then if we feel our goals are in alignment with our objectives, then we need to redo the process of developing our objectives. So it should be a living document we revisit regularly, but at least on an annual basis to develop our goals.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next. Disaster plan.
I'm working on the revision as soon as I have it finished. I'll bring it to the board.
Okay. New business. So I'd like to approve a change to the bylaws. And it's on the last page of the packet. With all the numerous issues that we've had with HVAC, fire alarm, stuff like that. I'd like to create a committee called the Physical Facilities Committee and add that into the bylaws. And that committee is responsible for the maintenance and planning for the physical upkeep of the library facility.
Do you have to be a trustee to be on this committee?
Yes.
Because how many committees do we currently have?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm. Right now, everybody is
on two.
On two.
Two.
Yeah. Except for us.
Unless Ryan can be.
Now you're on.
Unless you're on.
So now I'm on.
We created it with you in mind.
So just get ready for a reappointment when your term is up.
Maybe.
Yeah,
sounds like
this.
If you know,
we should
not come identify that I was on the
desk. Yeah, we definitely need it.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to make a motion to amend the bylaws to include the fiscal facilities committee portion of it.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Just before I vote, just to understand, what would the thought be that they would... Is it more of a planning, or is it more of a as things come up?
No, it's planning. It's okay. Planning to get preventative maintenance, getting a good schedule for preventative maintenance on all of our physical facilities, our heating, our ventilation system, AC.
Elevator.
So do we need a long-term...
What's that?
Then do we need a long-term committee for it?
Yeah, or is it just more of a developing of a PM lifecycle?
Well, I mean, we can even... You know, come back and revisit later. If it looks like we've got a good plan and that committee doesn't need to meet after a while, then we can change it as well.
Let's also go over problems with the building before it comes to the board to talk out the details of instead of taking a meeting to go over.
I think using it in that way, I think, makes more sense than just the develop the PM. So.
And it's a standard committee
for most
libraries.
Sorry, just wanted a little more information.
Oh, sure, that's fine. Mm-hmm. So, I made a motion to.
And I second it.
Seconded, so roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
So, Ryan and Russ, I'd like you to be on the committee, and okay. I'll be on it too. So that'll be our three. Okay. And next, we have increase of director's authority for expenditures. Let's go over that.
Right now, the amount is $1,500 for the director to approve. I'd like to ask that it be increased to $3,000 so that when we have emergency situations, that I'm not trying to take down there and to get an authorization.
I feel like you just jinxed us.
Like, I was going to say, what was over $3,000 and you needed it before our board meeting?
Well, let's say, for example, now if we want to do the microfilm update, the microfilm reader, it's $1,800. So as it reads now, I would have to wait a month to bring it to the next board meeting to get approval. Whereas if I have authorization, I can go ahead and move on.
I can remember when we had it at $100.
What if we do $2,500?
I was going to say $2,000.
I was going to say $2,000.
Because I thought it was $2,500 anyway.
Well, I'm okay with $2,500.
Did you?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I mean, I heard it was $1,500.
Yeah, it was $1,500.
Okay. I always thought it was $2,500.
I don't see a problem raising it to $2,500 or $3,000.
It's only an emergency situation.
Anything you do in the library these days, it's going to be $3,000.
I'm fine with
I know, I feel like sometimes they'll... Emergency situations, I get they've usually been less than $1,500 if it's a quick fix. And then before you spend $1,500, maybe like now that we have a committee, it'd be like, no, we're going to replace the whole thing in a month because we end up wasting money with three quick fixes that we approved because we didn't talk it out and it really needs to just be replaced. Does that make sense? Like, but I know that if you have it and it's an emergency, you might just spend it because you have the ability to and not wait for a board meeting where we, I mean, the thing is, we're so diverse, we come up with different, we see it in different lights that we might not, if it's just two people going, okay, this needs to get done right now. I know that happens. Sometimes just me saying, I have to ask my husband, and then I go, he goes, well, do they do this, this, and that? And I'm like, oh, I didn't ask them all those questions. And it's not working right now, and I just wanted to get it fixed, you know? And, like, usually just calling two other people, and I'm like, wait, you're swindling me, because it was an emergency, and they know they're getting over. Just, I mean, this $2,000-$3,000 is adding up, people. Like,
that's like with the airflow handler, which broke on Thursday. I waited till Friday to call, thinking maybe the temperatures would adjust. Friday I called, he came out. He said he would go get the part. He could come back Saturday, but it was double time. So we were open Saturday and Sunday, but I had him come back Monday morning because I didn't want to pay double time.
And we're hoping that the committee, once we overhaul the PM, hopefully set up a plan, you know, hopefully these things won't just keep coming
up.
Come
back and bite us.
Yeah.
Well, it's all because maintenance was cut back from 3 times a year to once a year, so things were not maintained. I mean, I asked why did, you know, the part that on the chiller that broke when I was at ALA, that was a part that had to be replaced. And this is another part on the chiller that had to be replaced.
So how many times since you've started have we run up to the $1,500 limit to where that's caused an issue? Currently.
Just with the elevator repairs have been over 2,000 each time they come out. But you know, they bill us after the fact. I'm authorizing the repair.
So you're authorized to spend, it's just the actual cutting of the check that...
No, I just want to be able to be authorized to do what I need to do in an emergency situation so that I'm not waiting to try to get in touch with Darren to get a verbal approval from Darren. I mean, I'm only going to do it if it's a true emergency.
As I recall with Michelle... emergencies, she would approve the repair.
Right.
And the spending limit was more of a discretionary thing than it was an emergency repair thing.
Right.
Like spending on a new AV system for here in here that would have to take board approval if it was over 15 over her limits, which, like I said, I remember it being at $100.
Well, I'm just saying, like, with the microfilm reader
that
we're going to
upgrade,
it's $1,800, so at this point, I would have to wait a month to bring it back to the board to get that approval, whereas if I'm authorized to spend it, I can do it right away.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess my question is that not an expense that the board should be approving? An $1,800? I don't know.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, when we go...
emergency, if the AC is off...
But that's not an emergency. That's a purchase. They plan to...
Right.
She doesn't know how much it costs when they come out. Fix it.
Right.
We need our elevator to work.
Right.
Fix it. We need the air on. It's a hazard. We want to buy this, and I'd rather buy it in the next 20 days instead of wait a whole month and a half, because you got to wait for us to have the meeting, approve it, and then purchase it after.
Right.
But aren't we already supposed to do that for certain... for certain costly purchases.
Like the database subscription renewal, which is under $2,000, I mean, that you're bringing to each board meeting, which technically should not need board approval for ongoing subscription.
Right.
So in that case, that's $2,000.
Is it above our budget? Is that why? Because don't we budget for that?
Yeah,
which
we do.
But right now, it was on the board agenda for approval. I mean... I'm just trying to streamline some things with not having to bring every little thing to the board for approval.
$2,000 isn't a little thing in our budget. I mean, that's where I get held up, is we're not bringing little things. I feel like if it's over $1,500, I feel like given the size of our budget, that's probably something we should at least talk about.
It's kind of how we were all taken aback with the custodial costs.
Right.
We're like, $1,100 for paper towel? Like, it's probably a lot more than that. But you see how we were all like, And it was 1,100.
The supplies for this festival.
But they made that purchase 2 months ago. So I'm worried now like that kind of mistake could happen more often if it's authorized. And then it's only when we're all together looking at the whole thing that we're like, wait, there's a bad pattern here. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, for the emergency situations, I feel like we're going to move forward with what needs to be done.
You can always approve those in emergency situations. I think that 1,500 is weird. Sometimes you have a number that goes like 1,600. I would make a motion to increase the director's authority for expenditures to $2,000.
I'm okay with that. With the understanding that if it's a true emergency, then I'm going to fix whatever needs to be.
As you've been doing before.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, but I'm also letting Darren know the problem.
Saying, it's still good to be aware.
Yeah, I don't
think
it's a bad thing to let him know anyway.
No,
not wait for him, but to send him.
By the way, something.
I waited for you. I already got the elevator fixed, but I wanted you to know.
We've got one
every other day.
Oh God!
I don't know what I was dealing with.
So then,
no, that was okay.
So there was a motion
and a second.
And a second.
Okay, so.
We need a roll call.
Roll call.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Okay. We need to approve the library closing for October 5th for a staff day. It would be a half day.
Close
at 1 o'clock. I hesitate to close all day because we have people that come in and use the computers in the morning. And if I can get it scheduled to do this carpet cleaning, I will. I'll make a motion. We approve the closing of a half a day on October 5th, starting at 1 p.m.
Second. Roll call?
Yes. Chacon?
Yeah.
Crawford?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Walter?
Yes.
Next
item of business.
It's a good deal.
Go, Daniel, go.
All right, I passed around. There should be 2 sheets, front side and back. So I think, first of all, I should introduce myself. I'm Daniel Chacon, son of the treasurer, and this has been a long time coming, this project. You probably, those of you who have been here for over a year, probably heard talk about it. And so this project is involving the children's courtyard. And so the Eagle Scout project needs to be approved by 3 parties, one of which is the beneficiary, which is the library. And so I also need approval from my troop, Troop 40 of Yorkville, and then also the committee level, which I will see after I get signatures and approval from the beneficiary and my troop. And so I have been meeting regularly with Mrs. Weiss to talk about it, and most recently I met with the library director, Ms. Topper, and she told me that I needed to come and present to you because it involved monetary things. And so... in the little packet I gave you, there is excerpts on the front page from my Eagle Scout proposal, which is the very fancy paperwork that I need to turn in to the committee when I go and see them. And so it has a little description of what the project is, and I'll tell you a little about it. So the children's courtyard, which is out the back beneath a big circular window, is looking a little drab. There's scrawny little bushes. It's not very colorful. It's not built for children. It's not the right size. The benches are too large. And so I wanted to change that. And so we're going to be removing, my project is to remove the little scrawny bushes, build wooden benches, which also convert into picnic tables, which you can see in one of the images. And I can pass around a nice colored version of the images because I wasn't able to print them in color at the school printers earlier today. The color printers were down. But also, we'd be adding a chalkboard that would latch onto the fence where currently one of the metal benches is, So we'll be moving two of the metal benches there. However, we'll be leaving the metal picnic bench and one of the other metal benches. And then we'll also be adding in two instruments, one being chimes made out of PVC and another being made out of wood, like a marimba. What else? The construction of these items will be off-site. We won't be building them here, but rather we will be building them at our home or at the home of the project coach, who is a friend of ours, and whose brother, who is also a good friend of ours, has skills in carpentry, where I'll be working, and the volunteers primarily will be scouts and scout leaders, because it is an Eagle Scout project. It seems fitting that scouts will be helping me in getting their service hours for their requirements. So, is there anything else that you guys would like to ask about, inquire about for my project? Should I give you a moment to read over everything?
Are we moving all of the benches from the children's? The benches that we have back there, we will be removing all of the benches that we have?
There's three of them, only two of them would be removed. One of them is in front of one of the flower beds, the farthest one away from the door, like furthest from the library, that bench, and then one against the wall, which is where the best spot is to put the chalkboard. The chalkboard will be hung up on wires connecting to the board, to the fence, or to the fence.
And the ones that we're doing will be wooden benches. I know those are the ones that are in the back, they have screws in them to keep them down. What we do for the ones for the wood, like, you know, with the weather and things and moving kids.
They will be built to weather the elements. The board will be built to last only three seasons, so it will need to be taken down during the winter and put back up in the spring.
The chalkboard?
Yes, the chalkboard, that is. The instruments that we will be putting into the flower beds will also be built to weather the elements. They will be treated with paint, proper exterior painting, thoroughly painted, will allow them to manage all four seasons.
The benches that convert to tables, will they be screwed into the concrete to keep them permanent?
No, they will be movable.
Okay. Probably better anyway.
Will the wood splinter or not? The wooden benches, could they splinter?
Like in what conditions?
Like could there...
Like the children get splinters from it?
Yeah.
No, they will be sanded that way.
Okay.
That also the edges won't be sharp as well because they will be sanded. One of the things that we need to discuss is where those two metal benches will be going.
I was just going to ask that question. Where are the ones that are already there?
I don't know where you guys would like to put them. If you have a storage place somewhere that you would like me to put them, or if we should leave them somewhere.
So the ones that you're building would be only probably for the summertime, spring, as you're saying? Because you say that during the winter...
People won't be able to use them in the wintertime.
Yeah. If you wanted to bring them in for the winter, you could bring them in as well. The chalkboard can't handle the winter. However, the benches should be able to. However, I don't think it's bad if you bring them in for the winter.
Right. I think the thought was, Jeanette, correct me if I'm wrong, the benches would be moved over to the sides outside.
The ones that were...
The metal ones, that is.
The metal ones would be put on the side.
We're leaving one for like adults to sit on because we're keeping one of them. Because these are going to be children's size.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We could put them out in the butterfly garden.
Oh, I was waiting for that to come up. I knew he was thinking about that. Just giving it to for the butterfly guards.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if we can utilize the benches out along the path here around the outside of the library because they are bolted into the ground. So I don't know if you'd have to create a cement slab or what that would look like. But I think it'd be really a nice opportunity if we could utilize that area with the trees and the shade, and if we could put some benches in there, maybe people would utilize
use
it
to
more.
Sit down and read a book or lunch.
Is it just outside this wall or something?
Yeah.
Like?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Are you thinking of putting the picnic table
on the fence? He was eating his lunch in that area, and he got locked out, and he ended up climbing the fence. So maybe if it was on the other side, he could sit on the bench and have to climb over.
The picnic bench also isn't bolted into the ground, so that is more easily movable and won't move as easily as the benches will.
No.
It could be kept there. That was the original plan, that we would keep it there. Another thing I would like to stress is that all of the wood will be painted vibrantly, because that was one of the things that Mrs. Wise stressed, that we want color added to the courtyard.
That's
so using primary colors and such.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about funds?
So, I think it's on the second page, there's a materials and supplies page. There's also two other things that they group in, the resources you need, our tools and other needs. The other needs are not really like physical things like that you need to acquire, but rather like services and such. Tools, the scouts, scout families, will have most of the tools that we need in large numbers. And then for specific and larger equipment, like the circular saw, our good friends who is carpentry skill has a circular saw that will work, and other such rare equipment. Along with funds, I talked with the friends of the library, and I wasn't able to present at their meeting this morning. However, it was brought up by the vice president there, and they discussed it, and they seemed like they would be happy and willing to help me fund this project. And so a fundraiser probably will not be required, as my family is also willing to foot some of the costs. And we are also hoping, another part of fundraising is also just getting discounts, because lots of businesses are happy to have their name put out there that they are supporting Eagle Scout projects and are willing often to give discounts. Another item of business for the supplies is some of it will be mulching and putting soil in for where the bushes are when we remove them. And so that's about $200, $250 in total, I believe. And if you were willing to pay for any of it, that would be the part I request, because I imagine that is probably in your yearly budget to mulch and topsoil around the library.
It looks like it's $300. For mulch and $150 for topsoil.
Thank you.
We just had landscaping mulched.
Well, he's not doing this until next year.
I was just going to ask. That was my next question.
I mean, that is the project. That could be included as part of the general landscaping for the mulch.
The plan for the project is in the start of June, doing it on weekends.
June of next year?
Yes. And so June of 2019, we'd work on weekends and that would only be installing, painting, installing after removing the benches and the bushes. And then restoring the library by restoring that space by cleaning it up, putting in the mulch and the topsoil. And then beforehand, if you look at the phases, the plan is to do the construction of the benches and the other items elsewhere with skilled hands of our friends, who are our carpenter friends, and older scouts.
So you would remove the stuff in June, and would you also be building off-site before June, so you could deliver in June or deliver in July?
Currently, the plan is that we would construct everything before June, like over summer break.
So we'll finish it in June.
Not summer break. Spring break, sorry. In spring break, and then take everything to the library, install it, put it into the ground, put the chalkboard up after removing the benches and the bushes.
So when do we do our mulching and stuff? When do we do that this summer?
Just in a...
Okay.
How many do you anticipate the chalkboard being? Would staff here be able to move it easily?
It would require a team of people. Okay. I'm imagining 3 to 4 people, but it would only be twice a year that it has to be moved. Once to put up and once to be taken down. And we would leave any extra supplies go to the beneficiaries. So this would be extra wire that could be used to hang it up next year. Mm-hmm. However, for the Eagle Scout project, I am not required, nor can the beneficiary require me to maintain the project.
I'm going to have to come back, Daniel.
Daniel, I know that the friends had a number of questions, because I saw that you got a list of questions for friends that they would like for you to address.
All right, so would you like me to go over? They had in total a dozen questions that they asked regarding the projects, and so The first one is, what kind of wood are you using? We will be using pine framing lumber. A framing lumber is the general wood that is used to construct things like pavilions, pergolas, and buildings as well. And so this is usually the choice of material. And is the wood durable enough for outdoor wear? It will be once it's thoroughly painted with 2 to 3 coats of paint over it. A proper exterior paint as well, on all facets and sides. How are you finishing the wood? Going along with that question, we will be finishing it just using an exterior paint that will be sufficient to allow it to weather the elements. It should be good to last through winter. However, I think it is advisable if you want to bring them in for the winter. Is the chalkboard waterproof? Will it stand ice, freezing, and direct sunlight? It should be fine in sunlight, and the courtyard back there only gets a few hours of direct sunlight. It's very nice and shaded most of the day. However, it will not be able to withstand ice and freezing. However, it will be waterproof. However, I do advise that if you know that there's particularly bad storm coming, I mean, if it's really incredibly dangerous, then you might want to take it in, but otherwise it should be able to withstand. That would be my only concern with high winds and such. How is the chalkboard mounted? So it will be fiber cement backer boards that will be using caulk, highly adhesive waterproof caulk to have wood around the outside so we can drill holes in the wood and then put wire through the holes to hang onto the fence, both on the top and on the sides to keep it in position and to support its weight. How is the stand for the PVC chime stabilized? What material is used to suspend the PVC? Wire will be used to suspend. 15-gauge metal galvanized wire will be used so it will be able to withstand the elements. And it will be stabilized by going about 5 to 5.5 feet to 6 feet into the ground beneath the permafrost layer, which is about 40 inches, somewhere from 40 inches to 4 feet. And then the next question was also asking about how the xylophone will be suspended and how will it be stabilized as well. And it will be the same thing. It will be metal wire connecting the marimba bars, and it will also have wooden poles that go into the ground.
And the wires will all be safe from the winds.
This is the picture of what you're making?
Yes. It will
what
be,
are the wires attached to?
Posts. On either side. It won't be going vertical, rather it will be horizontal.
Okay, this picture is vertical.
Yes.
Okay.
But we will make sure all the wiring is the same thing. We'll make sure all the wiring is not cause an issue.
Yes.
These are very inquisitive.
Make sure they're properly.
Because then it becomes a liability to us, to the library. So,
all right. Yes,
yeah, so how heavy are the backer boards, do we know? Roughly how heavy that chalkboard will be?
I believe it's about 50 pounds to 60 pounds for each of the backer boards, and it'll be two of them put together. So it'll be about 6 feet wide. This big chalkboard, however, it will be heavy.
120 right. pounds.
My only concern, when you say, is the kids' area, and then the wiring, my brain, when I hear wires and kids, it kind of scares me a little bit. And then 50 pounds, we're going to have to make sure that if we all agree as a board that we're doing this, that
it's 100, it's 2 backboards.
It's 2.
Each backboard is 50 pounds?
Oh,
yeah, it's really hard.
It's fiber cement.
Because it needs to be waterproof.
Yeah.
That is a good question you bring up, and it might be advisable rather to do 2 smaller ones and put them side by side. And another good question that you bring up about the wire.
Yes.
However, there is not really another quite as feasible method to hang it on the fence unless we wanted to instead stake it into the ground.
So,
are you talking about the chalkboard?
Yes, the chalkboard.
Well, the wires would be above and around. The kids wouldn't really. I'm not worried about the wires on the chalkboard to hang it. The weight,
the weight, so the two might be better.
It's easier to move them up. I'm worried about the marimba. So if you have the wooden things and you have wires on the outside, I could see kids cutting themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how thin the wires are because I don't
even
know.
Even the chimes,
15 gauge, about 1/2 inch.
Okay, they're pretty thin.
Diameter.
Yeah.
Do you have a plan for how this is built?
Yes.
You do?
Sorry, I don't have it with me. I have a plan for the benches, but I can check and see if I have it in this folder, the plan. It's all the marimba and the charms.
Not that it's thick, it's really thick wire.
It's right on time.
You can see the wire.
Yeah.
The wire?
Yeah, you can just see it moving.
It would appear not, sorry.
For the chalkboard or for the marimba?
I mean, the chalkboard's heavy. Yeah. If it were to fall or something.
That's my concern.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe, did you think about, like, just doing some posts and wrapping?
Yes.
You know, that, maybe that would make it easier.
Post well, he's trying to help us be able to move it in the winter, because if you post it into the ground, you're
going to leave the post. The cement screw. Post and build some kind of subframe and then hang this thing. So get some, like, attachments. There's some that just fit into each other. Something like this, something heavy.
So rather it hangs
and then
on the post.
The weight of it holds it in. Uh-huh. And then from there, it's supported. And then you could strap it or something to the post.
Right.
You know, where the fence, you know, that's a lot of weight on the fence.
It's the weight of the cage going to the fence and the wires. Just...
But I think posts would be pretty easy to put in.
Thank you. Thank you all for your input.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I could help you with my ideas.
All kinds of stuff around here.
Well, the other good thing is, you know, I like this, and sometimes you put something like against a fence or a wall, and the wind and stuff, and it ends up banging, and it'll end up damaging the fence.
Yeah.
Possibly if it wasn't backed properly. Mm-hmm. So that's another concern.
Fences can fall over.
Right.
That too.
And then, so, as far as, I mean, if we're constructing this and putting it on public property, would we need any permitting or anything to look at?
Yes. In other means, there is a service called Julie, where because we will be digging far enough into the ground where we might hit cables. You'll need us. There are free service that would allow us to mark where there are things beneath the ground. And since this is a public... public library, that all the cables or pipes underneath should be already marked in their system because they don't cover like private things that have been added.
I wonder if either the city's Parks and Rec department or if they would review it, because I mean they build playgrounds and whatnot, if they would have any recommendations as far as safety. I mean,
that's my biggest.
I have two little ones. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5-year-old. They climb on everything.
Yes.
So when I hear about like wires, I mean, they're going to be on it. So I just want to
make sure. You jump on the xylophone.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes. We're going to be like so cute, and then somebody's going to have their child literally climbing across the xylophone like it's.
Thinking it's a ladder.
Right.
Well, he's not going to have it vertical. That's my impression.
Right.
It's actually going to look like a xylophone. It's going to be horizontal. It's just the picture. Because I asked that too, like how do you suspend it? But I am concerned with the non-bolted benches and the way I've seen other people let their children run over things.
Right.
And I'm going to stand on the bench, and it's going to flip over, hit me in the head, and I'm suing the library.
Right. So I think...
Love you, Daniel, but sorry. That's something to think about.
Yeah. We love... I mean, I'm appreciative of the makeover, but when it comes to safety with the children, especially since it's in the children's area, I think you said you're doing it next year. Is there a way that you can go back and
consider a lot of things? Yes. There's time.
Talk to Mr. Forrester and see how.
Okay.
He said he will be willing to help.
Possibly talking to the Parks and Rec department. For Yorkville sounds like a great idea. Thank you.
To see how we can make it safety, because when I hear wire and I hear weight and kids, it scares me. And I just think of liability to the library.
So don't get me wrong, I think
it's a great idea. I love the project.
I think we can do everything that's on here.
Yes.
I just want to make sure we're doing it the safest and best way we can. So I think it's a great idea, and I think this is going to be great for our library.
Yes.
I just want to get as many eyes as we can to.
Make sure it's safe.
Make sure it's safe.
Yep. Yes.
And so I believe there's only two other items I talked about that we need to be discussed.
Okay.
One is access to the courtyard, like being able to move materials through there. I know that there's gates out there that are that are usually locked, and so when we're working, I'll need to have some way to open these gates or have someone who will be there who will be willing to unlock and unlock the gates afterwards.
I think that you give her the dates, Ms. Jeanette, the dates of what you'll be working on.
More than happy to do that for you.
Another one would be facilities access. Although on the tools and supplies, I have to include things like toilet paper and paper towels and such. But would you allow us, the scout workers, to use the facilities inside the library when we're working?
Yes.
Daniel.
I have to ask.
You have to so really, they have that on the application? That's awesome.
It has to be provided for you.
Okay. Yes.
You can't have a bunch of Boy Scouts working here and
you use the restroom.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You sure we have a porta potty, right? Yeah.
So also, this is only the proposal, and so once the proposal makes it through the troop, the beneficiary, and the committee, then there is a plan which will be a whole lot more in-depth. It will be a lot more nitpicky and cover almost everything. And it's a lot longer document, which will take a lot more time, and only needs to be approved by the beneficiary. So it will be only me and you, everyone here working on it.
So do we need to wait and have him come back with some more?
Yeah, because you raised a lot of valid concerns that I would say that do not merit you being able to sign off on.
All right.
I had a question,
too.
Our future. With the paint?
Yes.
To me, that's really important because choosing the proper paint, you know, how it's applied, that'll make a big difference how long it lasts.
How long will it last?
No, telling you that it will make a difference in the purchase of the type of paint that you purchase and how long it will last on the bench.
Yes.
So I would even look into maybe like a stain or something.
Yeah.
I know you're trying to get a bright color, but like paint and kids, you know, it just gets wore pretty quickly. So maybe there's something that can be used with like a polyurethane, you know, that would really last, and then it'd be a lot easier to maintain just to put a new coat of polyurethane versus sanding and repainting. So.
Yes, and that was actually included in the question about how are you finishing the wood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have some that are pretty bright, right? Some of the stains and that would give us some more color because I think it just look like plain wood.
They're colors, but they're initially they're not going to have like a real.
And crack.
Yeah. Especially in the wintertime.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck. Good luck. Thank you. Yep. So we'll see you next time.
It's like, I'm
going to
have a test.
Cool. Okay. Let's see if we can go into executive session. Yes, we have a motion to adjourn.
Welcome back, Russ.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now all we gotta do is get Carol back.
Yes.
In
terms of
tape off, I'll give an update with Carol.
Okay. I don't know.
Meeting
adjourned.
Motion to adjourn meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor.
Aye.
Okay, I went.